This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
So proudly we hail at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight. Oh, the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming.
Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. Hour number three, 602 here in the Bayou City. All right, let's run down south. Let's check in with our good friend, Captain Cliff Webb, see what he's up to this morning. Morning, Cliff. What's up?
Morning, Mickey. Oh, the old man's kind of dragging a little bit. We're good.
Kind of dragging.
I'm just trying to keep up with all these youngsters this week. Jesus, man. God. You know, I just had a great week. I went down to Port Mansfield, and fished with Jay Watkins all week. And God, what a great trip we had. Just 2 days of really fun hanging out with Jay again, you know.
I bet. He's fun,
I forget how, you know, the great memories we had together and all the tournaments we fished and stuff. Just kind of going down memory lane while we're fishing. Pretty cool.
Yeah.
I don't think there was a quiet moment with Jay and I in there. Gosh, I said, you know, I kind of feel sorry for the other two guys. I don't think we ever shut up. But anyway. Oh, it was fun down there. You know, Mickey, Barry, my good friend, he booked us last year. He does it on his birthday to try to fish with Jay last year. And we had that big old nasty cold from bad weather, so we had to cancel last year. Didn't get to go, so rebooked it this year, and we got to go. And Jay was nice enough to come from Rockport back down to Mansfield and fish. You know, so brought his boat down, and we stayed the night, a couple nights down there, and fished with him. But man, what a fishery Mansfield is! It's just unbelievable.
Yeah, it is.
The first day, you know, that it's just like everywhere else. This water just bowed up like crazy. This water that, you know, got water in places normally don't have, you know, in the same situation, lots of scattered fish. So we got up in the first place Jay took us is normally it's like shin, you know, maybe over the top of your ankles, and it's knee deep. And we pull in there, and it's a hard white sand bottom. These fish come in this hard white sand. And there's little clumps of grass, a little bit of oyster shell in there, and little clumps of grass. And, you know, as the light comes up, you can see the dark, little dark areas of the grass beds and stuff. And that's where those fish are. They're kind of laying up against those grass beds, you know, simply because the perch are in the grass and they got, you know, they got a place to hide and they settle with. So we're throwing, we tried everything soft on. There's so much grass in there. We had to pretty much stay into soft plastics. You know, it's just so much grass. So we're fishing those spots. And early in the morning, there's just so much bait. Just the bait's staging right now where it's getting ready to go out in the Gulf. So these shorelines that are staging bait, it's just loaded with bait, and they're migrating out. So it's just massive amount of bait. And then normally when you weigh with four guys, you can find a line of bait and a line of fish and everybody get down that line. Well, what was happening here, the fish were so scattered out. It was just like rogue, you know, rogue fish moving through that bait. And we spread out and try to get into them. And we saw some fish that were 30 inches swim by. I mean, some toads, dude. Man. And we're catching, you know, it's also some big reds in there, of course. You know, when you got reds, you got big trout. So
sure you do.
That's kind of way it works. That's kind of way it works this time
of year.
Been
that way all my life.
Yes, sir, you know. And we step out, stick a few reds, and then Barry and Dutch is probably maybe 300 or 400 yards up on the shoreline. And I see Barry bow up, and I see splashing, you know, in front of him. I said, I know what that is.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like a redfish where you look over there and he's going in the circle. He's backed up against the wind. He's going in the circle. I don't know what that is, you know, but when he sets that hook and that fish starts rocking the top, I said, I know what that is. So Barry got a 6.5 pounder up there shallow, you know, which is really good. And, but we never did catch a lot of really big fish. We saw them, and we sight casted a couple, and they would not react to the lure. I mean, you throw it at them and twitch it, and they would just like snob you know, swim around it. So they were just, you know, just on a major mullet feed, you know, early and at night, and the fish were full, and the feeding times were short. And of course, you know, Jay, we grind it out all day long. We move several times. We have a good day, catch some fish, just fish, and a few nice fish, 3-4 pounders, and you know, so. The next day, well, the problem was, too, and on these shallow water down in Mansfield, you need some wind. You really do. You know, it's so hard to catch them with a light wind. Two reasons is they can profile you, and the wind kind of stirs the water up and gets them moving a little bit. It puts a little powder in the water where it's not so gin clear. But that wind never would really come up real good, Mickey. So we moved around, you know, and caught them. And, you know, we're hoping, well, you know, the next day the forecast is a little heavier wind. And so we were planning to go back in that flat because we know those big fish are in there. You know, you can just, I mean, when you're walking, you know, this, it's kind of like Jay says, when you're walking and you're seeing two or three, you know, 5-pounders, you know, a couple 30 inches swim by and stuff, imagine what you're not seeing in front of you that you're casting to. I mean, you know, and you realize if you're seeing that many in a scattered area, there's quite a few fish in there, but it's just a tough bite.
Yeah, everything was thinking, just loose and not piled up, just loose.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know,
it's kind of hard to catch them when they're like that because they don't have to compete with another fish to get your bait.
No. And several times we would reel a redfish in, there'd be a big trout behind him, you know. And just like they were coming, they were feeling that fish, they were coming. So there was a pretty good number of big fish in there.
Yeah.
You know, but we're just, and what really helps you down there is finding the line of bait. Like you get in that line of bait and those fish are in that line, you walk in that line. What was going on here? There was so much bait scattered, just like football fields of bait. A pelican would come over in front of us and the bait would just bust as far as you could see.
You spray as far as you can see.
Yeah.
Man,
exactly.
That's a lot of mullet.
Yes, sir. And then so what you'd see is we walk and we see mullet flipping in front of us. Okay, let's go get them. Then you realize, well, they're flipping all around us. So it's not like, you know, but you could definitely tell when those predators move through those baits, they would flip, you know. But never really got any concentration of where you just stand there and whack them. You know, that's what we're hoping for. But mainly it's just the weather.
Yeah, but, true.
You know, it's just a really good fishery down there. The next day we went farther south and got up in some little bit dustier water, and you talk about stingrays, buddy.
Oh,
let me tell you what. I saw more stingrays than I've seen in 5 years.
That made you want to go back to Baffin, huh?
Well, I'm going to tell you what, dude. I'm not used to that. So, you know, I'm wet wading. It was too hot for waders. And I don't walk through potholes. I walk around them. You know, it's just the kiss of death walk to a pothole. That just, you just don't work.
I like sliding off in those potholes, and you see one of them big old car hoods come out of the bottom of it.
I walked around this one, making my kid water ski and clear. It's about 10 o'clock. And I walk around this one about the size of my living room. And I look at it on the bottom. I go, look at all these eels laying on the bottom. It's not eels. It's stingray tails.
Oh, Lord.
And they're all buried up, Mickey. Mm-hmm. And there's probably, I don't know, a dozen of them in there. And all their tails are like ropes all in that thing. I said, God, if I'd have stepped in that hole, there's no way I wouldn't have got hit.
Yeah.
You know, so rule number one, stay in the grass. Walk around the potholes and that stuff where they're in there. And slide them feet. Slide those feet, buddy.
And don't step back where you just waded through.
Oh, no kidding. That's the kiss of death.
You stir all them little crustaceans and everything up, and you can look back, and those stingrays are in your mud trail feeding on that stuff you just stirred up.
Oh, man. Golly. I didn't realize, but you're right. You know, that's exactly what's happening there. Golly.
A lot of guys I know that have been hit have done it by stepping back. You know, or turning around and walking back where they just waited, and boom.
Barry stepped on one yesterday, and he felt the tail wrap around his foot. He got his foot off it. It didn't
get
him.
Lucky dog
there. But, you know, even though those Sims wading boots are thick and stuff, you're still going to get popped through them. You know, you can still go through them.
Yeah. I mean, I had a listener that sent me a picture of his ankle, and he had been wearing, he had those Bart's Bay Armors, you know, the boots like I wear. And it still penetrated that. It was a big one. But he said it would have been major league if he hadn't had those boots on. It would have been a bad hit.
Oh,
and
man.
He thanked God for those boots every day, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If I tell you what, if I fished a whole lot down in Mansfield, I would consider wearing those in the summer.
Oh,
now in the winter,
doubt.
You know, with the waders on, yeah. In the winter with the waders on, I can slide around up shallow and see them and moves real slow.
Man,
that's another piece.
Yeah, I used to go down there and fish with old Bob Houston, man, and he waded barefoot.
I remember that.
But he'd been stuck
so
many times. Sooner or later, you're going to learn. I mean, I was a nervous wreck. I got into him like that with him down there that time. He was walking on them flats barefoot, going, okay, whatever.
You know, Chatter Island did the same thing around the rocks in the shore in Bath, and the old timer that caught all the big fish, he's barefooted. And that was back when Payless had two pair of shoes for $5. And Chatter go, well, these shoes are expensive. Let's take them off. You know, so he leaves his pair of $2.50 tennis shoes and take a shot to get
by. Yeah, well, that's what we wore back in the day. They didn't have wading booties and all that stuff. We wore, you know, just go buy some cheap high tops or something.
That's exactly right. And then get all that
Payless gel in them. Payless was the place to go. $2 for $5,
Payless,
like you said.
$2 for $5, dude. God, it's like sunglasses. Buy them 10 at a time, you know.
Yeah, the old Bill Dance Polarized. That's all we had. You get them at Walmart. $5 a pair.
Jay and I were talking about some of the old pictures, those glasses we had. Those big old giant glasses, those big fishing glasses, Bill Dance, what it was. So
at the end of the day,
at the end of the day, the back of your ears, they were so heavy, the back of your ears were sore. And your ear, you know, you look like Opie Taylor with your ears bent out because they pushed them down so much. But, I mean, we've come a long way.
I was born like that. The glasses didn't make my ears do that. I was born like that. I must have been flaps down in the womb. Ears folded over.
That's good stuff, man. But did you see?
Let me knock this good stuff break out, and I'll come right back at you, man. Hang on, buddy. All right. I need to take a moment to tell everybody about Angler U. You know, Angler U is committed to steadily expanding its library of videos to cover every topic under the sun when it comes to fishing. Weekly fishing reports are available from up and down the coast by the best guides and tournament anglers with decades of experience. And they're steadily expanding its library of videos to cover all topics, and they're archived so you can see patterns over time. And educational videos with instructional topics covering all aspects of saltwater fishing for speckled trout, redfish, flounder, tarpon, whether you're boat fishing, wade fishing, or kayaking, Angler U has you covered. Go to AnglerU.com to become a member today. You can receive great discounts from partner retailers like Fishing Tackle Unlimited, Anglers Anonymous, and Waterloo Rods. That'll save you a ton of money. Go to AnglerU.com. That's AnglerU.com and improve your fishing skills. It's a game changer.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you news stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. All right. It is 618. Let's go back and talk some more with Captain Cliff Webb. All right, Clifford, we're back, my friend.
You guys getting rain down there? I said Sharky
yes,
was getting rain.
Yes, we are. I'm glad you asked about that. We are getting a little rain.
I can't. My radar will not pull up. It just won't. You know, this is so weird about being on the island. I get messages like an hour or 2 hours after they send them, or the next day. It's just the weirdest thing with these towers out here. I don't know what's going on, especially if you try to text me around 4:30, 5 o'clock when all these people come across the causeway and everybody's on their phone. It's nuts how you just don't get stuff still. You think in this modern age we still get all of our texts and calls, but sometimes I don't get them until hours later. It's nuts.
Yeah, where was that deer petting zoo you were at the other day? You sent
me a video
of that. Did you
see that? No, that was in Mansfield.
Well, that's, I know, but that it looked like a petting zoo. I can't believe Cliff's standing 10 feet from that deer, man.
Hey, you ought to have seen some of the other bucks I didn't video. There's one about a 175 there that's unbelievable.
Gosh.
And so he's, you know, so Peyton East, we stayed in Peyton's place, and, you know, they feed him. So the deer come up on the porch, and they're standing by the little bin that's got the corn in it wanting you to feed them. It's just stupid. Then I had one eating out of my hand. I put my hand out, and, you know, eating corn out of my hand. But those bucks in there are incredible. But this is what is so great about that area. So you have these deer hunters, like I'm around a lot, you know, that don't really know the age of deer. When you get those big bucks like that down there in Mansfield, there's dozens of bucks. You can see all age classes of deer, and you learn what is a 5.5-year-old, what is a 4.5-year-old. And, you know, and that's the problem that we have on a lot of ranches. They don't wait to let the deer get old enough. You know, and that was a perfect example of this big eight that was at Mansfield. Last year, he was an 8-point, big old nice heavy frame eight. And he was 4.5. And a lot of people would have shot him at 4.5. Well, this year, he's a 10. He put on an extra main beam point plus a kicker, and he's several inches, you know, his whole measurement is probably 10 inches what it was last year.
Right.
And then maybe 6.5, he'll grow a little bit more. And then maybe 8.5, they'll start going down. But you can see the deer that's gone down a little bit, how they nub up. The tines are shorter. You can just tell the age of the deer. And that is a great lesson on aging deer. If you want to go down and see a lot of nice bucks, go down to Port Mansfield, just drive around the roads. It's just nuts, man.
You can look at their, you know, configuration of their head. You know, their nose will shorten up, and it'll get more like a Roman nose. You know, it'll get that little bend in it and everything.
That's it.
You know, they'll get a sway back and a pot belly. And
you can definitely tell the age of the deer, but that is a petting zoo down there. That's just nuts, man.
I started laughing. I said, man, wonder if he's in Mansfield, because you hadn't sent me any pictures of you and Jay or anything yet, and I'm looking at those videos, and I go, man, what ranch is he on?
Well, I sent you one picture, I think, of Jay and I in the boat, you know, of all of us in there, and we had the best group of guys. I mean, you talk about some fishing machines, and they're so competitive, you know, that they all tournament fish, and of course, Barry and those guys win a lot of tournaments, and so they're real competitive. You know, they're firing out of the boat like Navy SEALs, and old Cliff's just kind of dragging, you know, and I'm just kind of getting out behind them, but and they're so competitive. And Barry just, you know, Barry caught the biggest fish the first day, and then he comes back and we're talking, you know, and Jay's such a great guy, and he says, you know, Barry said, "Would I beat Cliff Webb and Jay Watson?" He said, "Yes, you did." And he says, "I'm not one of those guys that have excuses, because when I step out of the boat, I'm going to fish as hard as I can. I'm trying to beat you. So, yeah, you did beat me. I'm not one of those guys that have any excuses. Jay has no excuses." You know, he says, "But remember, at midnight, it's over." So the next day.
Tomorrow's another day. Watch
but
this.
It was good, man. We had Dusty, Durham, and those guys, and the Hunter, and you know, you don't realize how good a fisherman you have till they pile out in shallow water. You can really test a guy. You put him in knee-deep water and see how he reacts, how fast he wades, and he stops when he gets a fish, you know, and doesn't wade through them and doesn't wade through the potholes. You don't have to tell him anything, you know.
Right.
But we had
it
the
makes a big difference.
Buddy. Oh my God, we had the A-team on the water. It was good stuff.
Yeah, but, that's just you that's know, awesome.
2 days of great. You know, Jay and I have so many memories. You know, we have a past of that. We've had incredible fishing trips, and we kind of went back down memory lane in those tournaments we fish. And, you know, I don't get to see him very often, so I don't think we ever shut up, but it was good. I finally said, "Okay, look, somebody else wade with Jay, because I'm hogging him too much, man. Somebody else need to hang out with him." So,
well, I'll tell you what, if you've never sat around a campfire with Jay Watkins with a cocktail and
listened,
you hadn't lived. That guy cracks me up, man. He could do some stand-up if he wanted to.
And that's what my – so I had some clients of his last week.
Face when he's explaining stuff and, you know, the gestures, just hilarious.
Oh, he's – and that's what these clients were telling me that fished with him in January. They said, you know, Jay is a Texas treasure, and I really believe that. He's something special, you know. And it's really great to have somebody that we all look up to. And he's like that movie Crocodile Dundee. You know, he's Nick. There was Nick and there was everybody else, you know. But he was so much fun and had so much. Yeah, yeah. But he's got so much knowledge. And, you know, what he has to offer is so much time on the water. None of us spend as much time as Jay on that water. He's still fishing 20-something days a month.
Yeah.
And it's just incredible. I'm so impressed.
Good for him. Better him than me.
Yeah, I think I did 18 trips. I think I fished 18 days in October, and that was a good October for me.
Yeah.
You know? But he's got that set up in Mansfield. Something else, man. He's got the nice house and the setup
down
there.
I got two guys up here like that, Plog and Hillman. Man, they put in that time like that too.
Yes, you do. It's like Plog. Just like James, you know, he's got so much time in the water.
He's got to pay his bills. He's got to feed his family. He's got to work. Does. I mean, I'm just glad to be in the position I'm in now at my age. And I don't have to kill myself every day doing
that. Well, yeah, you know, just like James
which I enjoy
and Jay.
It, don't get me wrong, but it just, you know, it changes as you get older.
It's in their soul, though. You take guys like Plog and Watkins. It's in their soul, dude. You know, it's like those golfers are so good. You know, they're a special breed. You know, and they love it. When you got guys fishing their days off, you know, that's pretty serious. They fish 4 or 5 days and they got a day off. They go scout so they can stay on the fish.
Yeah, that's what you look forward to. So you can do off the wall stuff and really find what you've really been looking for, which is hard to find with customers because you got to get them bites. You know.
Yeah.
That's what I used to do.
You know, and Jay has a lot of problems down there. For you know, he's been fishing these areas down there. A lot of people piling in the areas he's fishing. So Jay finds new areas. You know, he's finding other areas.
That's what you do.
And he said, "Yeah, you fish this area all the time. You don't learn nothing but that area. But you know, if you spread out and learn several different areas and several different places that have the same bottom where you're catching fish, and you can, you know, when things are crowded and things you spread out a little bit, you got several areas to check.
Well, it gives you opportunity to eliminate all the dead spots and find all the fresh spots that's got life in it. You know?
Yes, that's exactly right. Exactly right. But
and it's all structure related. Once you find that." Little undulation on the bottom or that one point that runs way farther out off the shoreline, bottom-wise, you know, as far as, you know, people think, you know, you got to have a big depth change. All it takes is a few inches, and it...
Yes, sir, it does, and little trenches. It
creates like ambush points.
Yes,
and that's what
does.
Trout do is ambush bait, man. Flounder
and
tail.
You got lots of sand and just small little clumps of grass. Mm-hmm. Those little clumps of grass are holding all the bait, all the perch and stuff. So those fish are, it's like they're trying to work around those little patches of grass and feed around. They'll pull up in them and hide and try to eat. But if you're just throwing in white sand, you're throwing at fish that are traveling from one area to the other. You know, but when they're staged up around the grass beds and stuff, you got a much better chance.
Those are ambush points, and they're waiting for some bait fish to screw up and come out of that grass, and they're going to be there to suck them in, buddy.
Yep, exactly right. Exactly right.
The chase is on.
You know, when I went down, I didn't take enough tackle. I just kind of threw a little bit in my weight box. And normally when I fish with Jay, he goes, here, put this on, throw this, throw right there. You know, he tells me what to do, and I just do it, and I don't have to worry about nothing. Well, I didn't take enough tackle this time, so I'm constantly bumming tackle off my buddies. Hey, man, can I? What'd you catch that fish? I'm going to have one. Funny.
Well, you know why you do that? Because you're a guide. You're used to seeing people bring suitcases full of lures on your boat.
Yeah.
It's always in the way and everything.
Yeah. So I just bought one little box, you know, and I kind
of
moved off the
boat. It's more of a show and tell deal. Let me open this up. Yeah. I'll show you what a sporting goods store looks
like.
Well,
that's a good point right there. Yeah. That's a good point, man. And these guys got the tackle.
It's a show, baby.
You know, we wanted to catch them on double D's and soft nines, but the grass is too bad. And that's what I thought I'd be fishing. I thought I'd be fishing the double D and soft nine and maybe a topwater. But the grass situation was pretty bad with all the high water and stuff. And, man, that area we were fishing, normally you don't fish. Yeah. And same thing here, Mickey. Our water's just nuts high again. I'm sure that you guys are bulled up, but golly, man. We've got big surf right now, so. I can hear the surf in the back door, so you know
can
it's big.
You? Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's going to be a good day on the beach.
You slide down to the beach.
If I can still move.
Out this morning.
Yeah. Yeah. But those are some big snakes that you sent those pictures of that Blaine shot. I've never seen snakes that big, dude. Well, how big were those?
He's got them. I mean, that's common. That's common for his place.
That fish had to be over 6 foot.
Oh, it was. It was over six, had 16 buttons on it. The one, and then Rodney killed one. It was almost as big. You know, I sent you the other picture. And then he killed that one.
Oh, that's two different snakes?
That's two different snakes, man. Within 10 minutes of each other.
I don't know if a snake boot would do you any good. He'd probably bite you in the waist.
Better have chaps on. Snake chaps.
God almighty. Oh, man. Barry's got the same thing in Laredo. He's got those monster snakes. I mean, huge rattlesnakes, just like Blaine's got. But I don't think he has as many as Blaine. Blaine's got I've never seen so many snakes. He sends pictures every year.
He's sitting right there in the bird capital of Texas, quail and dove and everything. When you got all those, when you got birds like that, you're going to have some snakes, man. Snake population is just abundant.
Now, when I'm driving down Highway 77 to go to Mansfield, you know, Wednesday afternoon, I could not believe the amount of dove coming over Highway 77. It was just like unbelievable for miles and miles and miles of birds. So we still got them. We didn't shoot them all.
No, wait till that second season in December. Man, it's going to be good.
I hope so. God, I love it when it's cooler. You don't have to worry so much about snakes, and it's just so much cooler hunting. You know, you're not sitting there sweating to death.
The thing about Blaine, what he does, he keeps all of his dove fields, you know, his areas that he dove hunts around tanks and everything. He keeps them mowed so pristine, so you can see that. I mean, this time of year, just to wade off in that deep grass, you know, quail hunting with dogs and everything, walking through that, that's where the rubber meets the road right there. That'll keep you on point, buddy, just like the dog.
My son's got 22 acres, and he keeps it real mowed up by Mathis where all the birds are.
Yeah.
And if you wouldn't have kept it mowed, we would never find those birds.
No.
There's no way.
Wouldn't find them, and you'd have snake issues.
Yes, sir. Most definitely.
Yeah.
But I'm hoping it's going to be a good week coming up. I got some trips this week, and I don't know what this water's going to do. We need some south wind, but it doesn't look like we're going to have any wind to blow the water out. So I think I'm going to still be fishing in areas I don't normally fish with scattered fish.
Yeah, there's nothing to blow the water out. It's not much to this one.
Yeah.
Anyway, storming the Gulf and trying to figure out what that thing's going to make its mind up and do or not do.
You know, it's not coming to Texas coast, I don't think.
They claim that it's not going to hit any USA. They were talking, originally it looked like it was going to spin off and end up back down there in the bottom of the Gulf, Bay of Campeche and Yucatan area. So all we can do is watch, man. Hope for the best. That's Texas weather.
I know, and I don't ever remember having a hurricane that like this, you know, November. That's nuts. Golly.
That's definitely strange.
Of course, no cold fronts. We need about a 40-mile-an-hour northern, drop a temperature of 20 degrees. You talk about getting these fish moving. There's so much. You know, when you're still catching skipjack, we're catching skipjack in Mansfield.
Same here, skippies, gaff top, all that stuff.
Yeah, all that stuff still in the bay, you know.
Trinket trash. Garbage.
Oh, man. Yeah.
All right, Cliff. Well, hey, buddy. It's always a pleasure talking to you. I'm glad you had a good week. Got to fish with Jay. That was a good week.
It was a blessing. All my good friends, Barry and Dusty, and Hunter. And all those people.
Yeah.
The guys I'd want to be with if I had a day off, as the guys I'd pick to go fishing with. But anyway, good week. And I'm going to go check out that beach and probably watch the young guy surf, the old man sitting on the beach and watch him. Probably, it's probably going to be too big to get me out there. I'll drown, but we'll see.
All right.
But anyway, thanks for having me on, Mickey.
If somebody wants to come down and fish the Corpus Baffin area with you this winter, it's going to get better. I can promise you that. How they get a hold of you,
sir.
Man.
All right, Mickey, area code 361-949-0707.
All right. Well, Cliff, have a good one. It's always fun talking to you, man. I'll talk to you next week.
All right, buddy. Thank you, man.
See you, man. All right, that's Captain Cliff Webb down in Corpus Christi. Well, Boyd's One Stop, they're the home of the supercharged, super slimy powerhouse croakers, and they're located right at the base of the Texas City Dyke at 227 Dyke Road. And if you're looking for quality live bait for your next fishing trip, look no further than Boyd's. From their tanks to your live well, that bait's as good as it can possibly be. And there's no better way to live your bait or your tournament fish than with their oxygen response system. Check them out firsthand at the store, all their different size bottles. And you can check out their diffusers and regulators also, plus a refill for you right there at the store. And if you need more info, call Jason Cogburn, 281-701-8107. And Boyd sells nothing but wild-caught guff and bay shrimp there at Boyd's, no farm-raised. And if you're looking for the 9-12s, 15-18s, whatever count and size you need, they've got great availability, great prices, and check out their Cajun Grill next door. They put out some really good food there at good prices. 409-945-4001 or boydsonestop.com. And when you call the good folks at Boyd's, please tell them Captain Mickey sent you. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. It's 6:38 here in the Bayou City. All right, let's run down to deep South Texas now. Let's check in with our good friend, Captain Blaine Friermuth, see what's going on in South Texas. Good morning, Blaine. What's up?
Hey, Mickey.
What's going on?
Finally, we get to talk. We have had a phone troubles all fall long, and finally, something snapped, and we're starting to get our phones back again. We don't understand it, but I'm glad to get them back.
I get text all the time, people wanting reports from you, but, man, the phone service is the issue down there big time.
We don't know what happened, but, you know, in the mornings, we wouldn't have phone service on any phones, any kind of service for 4 hours, and then about 11 o'clock in the morning, we'd get it back. But, you know, and we even got Wi-Fi down here, and we couldn't get anything. They were just, we don't know what happened, but I'm glad to get them back now, but it's 67 degrees in Hebronville, and we finally got a little cool front through here. It's not much of one, but at least it's cooler than it has been. And we've got about 12 deer hunters down here right now and doing real well. Last weekend, we had 6 deer hunters. We had 100% kill, so yeah. That was really good. Despite, it was really bad last weekend. It was hot. It was really hot, 95 in the afternoons and 77 in the mornings. Now we're 67 fine. This is the coolest day we've had with hunters here. So we've got we're 50% right now. We got 6 bucks, and it's a miracle we're doing what we're doing. But there's so many deer this year, it's crazy.
Yeah,
it's going to be a great year for deer hunting. We had I'll just catch you up. We had a good dove season. We had 2 weeks of exceptional, really good dove hunting, and then the rest of the time it was just good, and we never had a bad hunt all season long.
Amazing.
And two weeks ago was the last weekend of dove season and the opening weekend of quail season. Of course, the quail is the best it's ever been in 42 years for me. I've been at this ranch for 42 years. I've never seen anything like it. But what happened was is it rained all spring long and all summer. And just kept raining, kept raining, kept raining, and everything did well. All the does had twin fawns, most of them, and the quail had several hatches. They're still sitting on nests out there right now. It's been such good weather. And to see that weekend, the last weekend of dove season, it was a good dove hunt along with a good quail hunt. So that was a fun time. We'd hunt quail in the mornings and doves in the afternoon.
See, that's cool, man.
That's a lot of fun.
Quail in the mornings and 15 dove in the afternoon. That's bonus. That's big time.
And the quail hunt is so good, Mickey. It doesn't take very long to get your limit. If you just can shoot one quail out of each covey, you can hit 15 coveys in just a couple of hours, and you're done.
Mm-hmm.
So that's fun, too. That's really good. You know, when it's the best you've ever seen, then that's really good. You know, 42 years of me being here, I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah.
That's good stuff.
Yeah, but, it is.
The bucks are looking good. Last weekend, we killed several mature bucks. One of them was 8 years old and didn't have a tooth in his head. He was a big 11-point. And the ones we killed this weekend, most of them are, you know, at least 4 years old. So we're doing pretty good. They're laying off these little young baby 10-points and 8-pointers. So it's just going to get better. It's just been so hot. Our deer hadn't been moving. We're sitting on the front porch right now. You know, our favorite place to sit. All the guys are right here right now. We've put everybody out. There's probably 25 or 30 does here, but not any bucks. Huh. Normally we have bucks here. It's just too hot. Bucks just aren't moving. We got a few little ones, like 4-points and spikes here in the yard, but they're just non-existent. So they're just not moving. It's too much good green stuff for them to eat out there. So need a good cold front, get this, maybe a little frost, kill some of this green stuff, and I think the deer hunting's going to really pick up.
Oh, it will.
It's not bad right now. It's great. We've got 50% done already this weekend. It's been terrible conditions. Last weekend we had 100%. So what does that tell you? It's very, very good.
Yeah.
Yep.
This early.
We're looking great. Looking great.
I've been seeing a few good deer killed across the state, you know.
Yeah. I think the biggest one we've got so far is just in the 130s. That's normally what we kill, Mickey. 120s to 140s. That's our normal.
Yeah.
That's our normal thing with the kind of deer we have, but
we've seen some exceptional deer hunting.
Oh yeah, we've seen some. You know, you always get to see the big ones, but guess what? They're the smart ones. They don't come back to those blinds. But you see them running, and you know when you're driving through the ranch, and when we were mowing, we saw a bunch of big ones. So somebody
did
saw
you ever
one
see
big
that
one.
Video John Nelson? I guess he was going quail, and he's going down double A Martinez, and that deer jumped the high fence. That was hilarious.
Guess what? That was our deer that jumped over into a high fence ranch.
he left you to go over there and get behind a high fence. That's crazy.
Yeah, now he's standing there wishing he could come back over to us because he's got a lot more food, a lot more water over here on this side. Yeah, he was about a 150 class, 160 class buck.
Yeah, that was a good buck. Stupid is, stupid does.
Yeah. How come they don't ever jump from the high fence ranches to our side? That's what I want to know.
That's the problem.
Yeah. We not to get political, but right before the election, we were getting a lot of traffic going on down here. That we had the helicopters and the border patrol with the horses and the border patrol with the four-wheelers, and we had a lot of traffic going on. Now it seems like it's slowing down all of a sudden, you know, whack, you kind of quit. So we had the last month, I think everybody's trying to get their last chance at coming across if the election didn't go the right way. But it went the right way, so it's slowing down.
Well, that's good. We need that too. That's Boy, you're right in the heart of it down there. I mean,
You know, we got three highways come together right here in Hebronville, so they got three ways to exit out of here, and that's why we're such a hub for the traffic. But we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. But you know, it's what happens to us is when they're walking through. They don't know, but they're walking down our shooting lanes on our blinds when you get a group of six or eight people walking through, and that scares the deer. So that's why it bothers us.
At least that human scent everywhere, too, and it makes them stay gone until you get a rain or, you know,
It's fine as long as they're not going during deer season. You know, they don't bother anything. But when deer season opens, we got people in blinds everywhere, and you know, here they come walking through, and that ruins people's hunt. They're paying us good money to hunt. So, but anyway, it's everything's fine now. It looks good. It's grass is still 4 foot tall. If you walk through the grass that hadn't been mowed, Mickey, you'll get 500 grass burrs on your blue jeans within 10 seconds. It's unbelievably
big grass burrs too.
It's crazy, man, and that's because of all the rain. It just kept growing and kept growing. Now the grass burr plants are 3 foot tall. You get them up your belly.
The deer are getting covered in those walking through that grass.
Oh man, all the animals. You can see them with their old legs scratching their stuff off of them, and even the quail. The quail will get them grass burrs on them, and you can see them kind of scratch them off themselves. It's crazy. It's pretty crazy.
Oh boy,
we killed a lot of snakes this week.
Killing some big snakes, man.
We did. In the last 4 days, we've killed 5 giant rattlesnakes, and we haven't been seeing any for all dove season. We weren't seeing hardly any. And then all of a sudden this week, when it cooled off just a little bit, here they come out, and some giants. And Rodney was looking for a buck yesterday that we still hadn't found, and he came across a 6-footer when he's in that brush looking for that deer.
Ooh.
They quit looking for that deer right then. they made an about face and walked straight out of that brush. They said, no, we're not going in there right now. So anyway, but it's going to be a good season for us. And thank God, all of a sudden, the day after the election, my phone started ringing. It's, you know, I'm a selfish voter, and it worked out good for me. All of a sudden, my business wasn't that good, and now people started feeling good, and I'm getting lots of phone calls for hunting.
It's amazing how things change after election, stock market.
Well, just always an election
year. You got enemies wanting to surrender, and phones ringing.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
You know, people's 401k is going up. Everything's going good for everybody all of a sudden. So when people have trouble, they don't do things for fun, like fishing and hunting and baseball games and, you know, all that. They don't spend that money on that. They spend it on groceries. And now all of a sudden people in 2 days started feeling a little bit better, and they want to do something fun because they've been all cooped up for a year and even longer.
Nothing's changed yet. I mean, we're waiting on that, but it's a mental thing, attitude thing, confidence thing, you know.
Exactly. So, anyway, we may pull the rabbit out of the hat this year and do real well. With our quail hunting bookings went off the chart because everybody found out how many quail we have in the Hebronville area, so that was good. But our deer hunting has been real slow. The bookings have been real slow. And like I said, all of a sudden, people are calling for quail hunts and deer hunts in just 2 days.
Well, that's good. That's awesome.
But we haven't had the weather either. A lot of people don't think about deer hunting when it's 94 degrees outside across the whole state. So now if we get a couple of cold fronts here, people say, hey, man, we need to go deer hunting. You know, we'll get 2 or 3 here and 2 or 3 there, and that'll help ease the pain around here. But it's looking good. Everything's looking great. I can't ask for anything better, Mickey. Really can't.
Yeah, I get photos from you and from, you know, David too, so a medicine man.
Yeah, we're doing our normal thing, and we're on a, you know, you go through hills and valleys down here in South Texas where the weather is and where the birds and the deer and everything are. Right now, we're on top of the hill for the doves, for the quail, and for the deer. So it's an exceptional, on a scale of 1 to 10, it's a 10 for everything. So
yeah. Well, that's awesome.
Everybody that gets to do it this year, they got to get out and do it. Anywhere down here in South Texas is really good. Probably across the whole state. I don't know for sure because I haven't got much report from East Texas on the deer hunting yet, but I don't know how the acorns are falling and all that.
Well, there's plenty of them. There's a lot of them.
Well, what we have going in our favor, we haven't had any rain, and the grass is going brown real quick right now.
Uh-huh.
And it doesn't look like we're going to get any rain. And when it goes brown, then the deer start really coming to the corn. You start putting that corn out on the roads around these blinds, you'll get lots of them. And right now, I'd say every blind's got 30 to 40 deer on it every time you hunt. But all of our numbers doubled. Each one of these does, most of them have twin fawns. So you got 10 does have twin fawns. All of a sudden, instead of 10 deer there, now you got 30 deer there in that same spot.
That adds up, man. That's, you know.
Yeah, it looked like there's a million of them on your shooting lanes, but they're just twin fawns everywhere. And we still got spotted twin fawns.
That just showed you how that late rut last year, how many, you know, babies were born way late because of the late rut.
Yeah. I'm looking at them right now. I'm looking at just a bunch of little twin fawns right here in the yard, just eating them a little corn, getting them a little breakfast.
Twin fawns.
But everything did real well, including the yellow jackets. You know how in the wintertime how the yellow jackets get in our blinds? we're fixing to go to war with Yellow Jackets because there are millions of them. I mean, it's we're gonna try to get ahead of the game, try to put pest strips or something in the blinds, and every blind has two cans of wash spray in it right now. So, and there are, you know, somebody hunted a blind Friday afternoon and no bees, and they hunted it yesterday afternoon, and or what, anyway, I can't remember what days it was, but the very next day the same blind had about 200 Yellow Jackets in it after That's the first crazy. Day didn't have any. Yeah, just in one day's time. So,
you know, that's something, maybe you know, down here, I just, you know, up this way, I don't see the Yellow Jackets like we used to have, you know, like you have down there, but
yeah,
it's mainly red wasp up here now.
Right. Well, I knew it was going to be bad.
Around my place anyway.
Yeah. When I was mowing all the roads and all the shooting lanes and everything this year, there was Yellow Jacket nests everywhere on all the little mesquite bushes and all that. So we knew we were going to have a bad year with it. But the colder it gets, the worse it's going to be. But like I said, we're going to try to get ahead of them. But they don't bother you. You get in the blinds. All they're trying to do is get warm. In the afternoons, they go in the blinds, and they get up in a corner in there, and you just spray them with wash spray, and it kills them all. But the colder it gets, the worse they're going to be.
Well, I know, do those little yellow tabs y'all hang up in there you get from, like, Tractor Supply, those really work, don't they?
They help. What those are is ear tags that go on cows to keep the flies off of cows. So that's we started trying to do that and see if they helped. But what really helped is these pest strips, and Craig got a case of them the other day, and he got 50 of them, and those things are about $10 a piece. So we're going to see if they work, But I mean, if they work good, then you don't have to mess with spraying them every morning when you get in your blind. So, and you can sit in those blinds. There might be 500 Yellow Jackets in there. I've been in there before, and they don't bother you. They're all huddled up in a corner when it's cold, and they're not going to even move. But if it warms up or your body temperature warms
then
up that blind, then they start crawling around. Then you get a little scared.
That's when I don't like it.
Anyway, we're going to get ahead of the game, see if these pest strips work this year. They should. We've done it before, and it keeps them 100% out of the blind.
Well, I keep seeing this this alert in South Carolina where a laboratory's 43 monkeys got loose in South Carolina. I keep thinking about the snow monkeys and, you know, around Cthulhu when Wayne and Hugh and all them were hunting down there that got loose from that facility. Pretty funny.
Down in Dilley, the snow monkeys got loose and they traveled up and down the rivers there, whatever river that is, run through South Texas.
Right.
Now they prolificated. Those monkeys are still down there. They'd get up on their feeders and spin the feeder plates and eat the corn.
Yeah, they just get up there and spin the feeder so everybody, all their family can eat, man.
Those snow monkeys are big monkeys. Those things are like 3 foot tall.
Yeah, they're big. They were tearing stuff up down there for Wayne and Hugh. And that, I think, what I understand, a few of them got shot, too.
They're
such a menace.
Yeah. Speaking of menace, guess what's really, really bad this year? The hogs. Oh, my goodness gracious. It's Mickey, it is absolutely insane. And right now, they're not scared or anything because nobody's set in these blinds and shot them yet. And they'll get smart, and then they'll start coming out at night. But we've been seeing, like, herds of 30 to 40. And some guy said he don't know how many was in a herd yesterday or day before yesterday morning. He said it looked like 100.
My goodness. So,
he said it's just a dust storm, all them hogs racing each other trying to get the corn. So it's
pigs on
we got
parade.
Some trouble. We got some trouble going on, which is going to be not good. When you put corn out in the afternoons, there's not going to be any corn left in the mornings because there's so many hogs out there. They're going to work all night. Those hogs are bullies. They push all the deer out.
Plus, there won't be no holes. They dig in the Sendera's when you're trying to drive through there. You can
break an axle.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, but we haven't even started venturing out to all the ranches. We're kind of hunting the main ranch here, this 6,000 acres right here. I went to Nava North yesterday morning and took a couple of guys over there, but we didn't even see hardly any bucks over there. Millions of does, but just. You know, just the bucks really just aren't moving yet. They're just they're here, but I mean, we're lucky to kill what we've killed here in the past two weekends.
Yeah, they're cooling down now. It's starting.
When it cools down, they're going to come out. They'll move out.
That's still good that, you know, y'all killed some of those mature deer already, that many, you know, with the weather we've had. That's pretty good. That tells you how many you got.
Oh yeah. Oh, we got a bunch. And guess what? All these twin fawns. One of them's a buck. So the next 4 years from now is going to be a bumper crop. It's not as big, good as it gets. So they'll all be 4 years old.
The cycle of wildlife. I just keep coming back.
We killed a nice 13-pointer yesterday morning. The guy shot it. He was ecstatic, man. He killed a buck and two javelinas. He's going to get the javelinas full mounted, and of course he's going to get his buck mounted. So he got a pretty good chunk of change coming after he finishes with that hunt yesterday.
Yeah, the hunt was the cheapest part.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, two full body mounts on pigs, you know, javelinas, and then the deer. Yeah, he's out some bucks.
We had
all right, Blaine. Well, hey, man, I'm glad we finally got to talk. It's been a long time. So,
well, it's going to be working from here on out, Mickey. If y'all need us, we're going to be here, and I'll call you and let you know what's going on around here.
All right, that sounds good to me, man. Throw them out a number. Somebody wants to call you about coming down and quail hunting, dove hunting, or deer hunting, pig hunting.
Call us. Yeah, please call 713-703-6656.
All right,
appreciate
Blaine.
It, Mickey.
Hey, y'all have a good one. Good talking to you, buddy. See you, man. All right. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today's show. We'll be back in the morning bright and early at 4 a.m. right here at Sports Radio 610 KILT Houston.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you news stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.